Today's scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. Today's a messenger for today is Pastor Albie.
Good morning. My heartiest congratulations to our catechumens who today had made their public proclamation of their faith in God. I'm also happy to see the family members who are here to support and see many of you gleaming with joy for your loved ones. It is good to have more families gathered here this morning because today we are going to talk about some real issues surrounding our lives and our family. Now, take a look at my family. On the surface, we are a picture of a blessed family. I'm a pastor. My wife, Vivian, she's a freelance psychologist. But the bulk of her business are people I send to her to be helped and for FOC. Since she's freelance, she's able to have the liberty and freedom to stay home to care for the children. And she may be completing her PhD soon. Our children, Sean, Esperance, and Kayla, all appear to be doing well. Now, to be sure, I'm absolutely thankful to God for all His grace upon our family. Our family is indeed blessed in many, many, many ways. But then again, a blessed family does not mean that everything is smooth sailing and without challenges. Now, this June series being on dealing with real issues, I thought perhaps the best person to share something real about our family is my wife, Vivian, who will share with us on some of the realities that our family faces.
Hi, everyone. I gather that June is Get Real Month about ourselves. And to take the courage to be vulnerable about our struggles and journey with one another. So Pastor Albie and I decided to take the plunge today since he's on preaching duty. It's scary, to be sure, but I look to you for love and acceptance, so please don't crucify us. I'd like to share from the relational and emotional aspects of our family life. Most of our stress will be familiar to all of you, I believe. We are definitely not immune from personal sin, self-centered desires, and pride. There are many things we are guilty of. We do not pray as often as you think we do, and we do not always talk about God or the Bible. And then when we are finally convicted that we should pay more attention to this area, we get into all sorts of silly arguments, and then spend more time arguing than actually doing it. Important things like family devotion get sidelined when our view narrows down to our immediate deadlines and to-do lists, church and friends, our children's commitments and responsibilities, household chores, aged parents, and my own health challenges and studies. The children bear the brunt of a pace of life faster than what is good for them. I sometimes think we really pack too much in it, and either we are trying to prove we are superhumans or really secretly wishing that we won't collapse or break down. It's true that we really have much to handle, but we love what we are doing, although there's hardly any time left for each other. Besides the running and rushing around, to be honest, there's also dark shadows lurking from past unresolved conflicts between the two of us. The busyness of life becomes a very legitimate, convenient excuse to escape these. After all, it's painful, and opening the Pandora box feels too intimidating. However, we are really only fooling ourselves into thinking that this way of life, this way of living, pleases God. No amount of outward effectiveness will produce any spiritual good when our inward wounds continue to fester. You might think we should know better, but no. And over time, the bitterness and unforgiveness within me just cut deeper and deeper. The stress of a never-ending work and the pain of unresolved conflicts have an overall effect of causing me to lose my gaze on God. Moreover, I have fibromyalgia. It is a condition marked by chronic widespread pain. So I'm constantly in pain. And then there's that ultra hard-going PhD to complete. So sometimes life can feel very dreary. I struggle to feel my faith. Hate knowledge can slowly give way to the pain of living. And I wonder if God is going to change anything, or look back in regret at my wrong choices, or try to play God imagining what he would say to me, which usually boils down to the same old self-condemning refrain that I'm unworthy.
Indeed, we need to get real. Sometimes, and oftentimes getting real is that gateway to healing and to restoration. I must confess that I am complicit to Vivian's struggles in many ways, and I have been, in many occasions, the biggest culprit. See, family life is life lived in reality. And realities are no respecter of who we are, what we do, or even whether or not we are Christians. There are many facets to family life. So how do we Christians, especially today as we witness the entire family coming to Christ, how do a Christian family navigate through this sea of challenges and difficulties and pains? More so for us Christians, how do we practice faith and theology in this grinds and grinds of life? Now, today's focus being on family, I've chosen the passage in Ephesians, which I believe provides a framework to help us uphold divine order, to observe divine purpose, and to practice divine presence, beginning with ourselves as an individual, and which, God willing, help us to lead our family through all this. Let us pray. Father, we come indeed, we can't hide because you're omniscient. You know all things. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere. And the Lord, you are all powerful. So we can only come before you, Lord, asking, Lord, that you'll lead us and guide us as we dig deep into our hearts, into our family lives, that we may present to you our pains, our failures, to seek your forgiveness, that, Lord, you may restore us. So as we look to you and your word, Father, guide us, convict us, in Jesus' name. Now let's begin with this little quiz. I can't remember whether I've done this year, but what do you see? Well, some sees it as God is nowhere. Some of you will say that, well, is God is now here. Yeah. I don't know, what do you see? Now, it's okay if it is just a word game that you get it either here or either there. No? But what if we are to put this through the lens of our family in our homes? If we are to really scrutinize our family, look into our living room, our bedroom, our kitchen, what do you see? Is it God is now here, or God is nowhere to be found in our home? One of the main foci when I did my first master's in the 90s was on developmental psychology, on understanding children's development. But as I look at my own children and their growth through these years, I believe I'm convinced that I have to throw away all my old textbooks on developmental psychology. Because they are so different from what textbooks say they are just 2 or 3 decades ago. Each generation grows differently, and that is why we should never, never underestimate the complexity of the family unit. We don't take it for granted. Every day we live with this utter sense of dependence upon God to draw strength from Him as we try to live and deal with the complex issues surrounding our family. As you have heard from Vivian, husbands and wives having issues with each other, whether you are psychologists, whether you are pastors, you are not spared. Every one of us do. Add in the challenges of parenting, add in the challenges of illnesses, bread and butter issues, or simply the periodic mood swings and changes, the family unit can sometimes be a simmering volcano waiting to erupt. And unfortunately, many families had exploded. And just like the volcano ashes, the entire family scattered all over the place, never to come back again. And I believe we all know of families like this. But realities do not need to mandatorily consign our families to perdition. There is something that we as Christians can and must practice. Ephesians 5 has mostly been used as a wedding sermon passage, and rightfully. It calls for wives to submit to husbands, husbands to love their wives, children to obey their parents, fathers do not exasperate their children. These are not just cast in stone instructions. There is a divine order enshrined within this passage. These instructions are reflections of our relationship with Christ. Wives submit to your husband in the Lord, as you do to the Lord. Husband loves your wife just as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Why? Because you need to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. How much we subject ourselves to God's heavenly order really is intricately bound to how much we subject ourselves to God's instituted earthly order. God designed the family with an order in mind. Now, having said this, I acknowledge that there are exceptions that pose challenges to this divine order. There are families and marriages where there is domestic violence, child abuse, fathers or mothers being absent from the family, desertion, whether father, mother, or some children indulging in pornography, same-sex attraction, addiction, whether it's gambling, drug addiction, or gaming, all happening within the family. There may be parents or children who are involved in different vices that make submission and obedience impossible in some families. To be sure, no unrighteousness is acceptable in God's sight, and it would be foolish to insist obedience to an order that is broken by human sinfulness. Now, all these intimate and intricate issues have no easy solution, but there are recourses. In the course of being in this people helping profession for the past 20 over years, unfortunately, we have witnessed many who have these set challenges within their own family, but they never sought help. And when they finally realized that they need help, it was too late. Nothing much more can be done. And I've just said, the volcano eventually erupted, and the entire family fractured and scattered. There are recourses. We do not need to suffer in silence, and we do not need to wait for that day, that dreaded day, when there's no turning back. So if any of you need any help in any of these areas, I invite you to seek help. Do not suffer in silence. Talk to any of the pastors and leaders. For those that we are able to help, we will give of our best. And if we can't, we will help you. Help to refer you to the better sources of help that is available out there. Indeed, there are exceptions to this divine order which makes it makes obeying it very, very challenging and difficult. But in most instances, when we are honest, many of our family's problems arise from the deviation or even disrespect of the divine order God intended, whether on the part of the perpetrator or in some instances both parties. Whereas the saying goes, it takes two hands to clap. God's divine order in the family is that we accord to each other respect and honor they deserve as a creation of God and the position God placed them. And that is why as we read closely in today's passage, we realize that God did not institute a lopsided hierarchy, but really a reciprocal relationship. Wives submit to husband, he didn't stop there. It's reciprocal. Husband, love and treasure your wife. Children, obey and honor your parents. It didn't stop there. Parents, take proper care of your children. You see, such divine orders are something like the divine antivirus. They really are meant to protect the family system so that the family can fulfill its calling to observe the divine purpose that God had intended for each of our family. Ephesians 5:31-33 is often said to be referring to the sanctity of marriage. And sometimes it's also used to ask the mummy's boy to cut the apron strings. Yeah. But could there be more than just these prescriptive commands? I believe this author got it beautifully when he says, every marriage and the Christian family that arises out of it is designed to be a reflection of the relationship between Christ and His church. I mean, yes, our families may have struggles and challenges, but we need not always be on survivor mode. Our families can be places of revival, not just only for ourselves, but also for those whom we come into contact with. And this is especially more urgent when our parents and when our siblings are still non-believers. Now I must share with you one of this what I believe to be the most amazing testimonies that I've ever come across. A lady back then in my old pastorate, a lady who had just then accepted Christ, share with me her fears that her parents will be angry and will surely oppose to her getting baptized. And I told her this. I say, don't you worry. The earliest you can get baptized is a year later. And why don't you invest this year to be the best to your parents, showing your parents that a Christian child is a better child. For those of you who are baptized, a Christian child is a better child. A year later, when I interviewed her for baptism, I asked her how her non-parents feel about her being baptized. And she said, Pastor, my parents, they are very sad. They said they have lost a daughter to Christianity. They asked her, so how? Are they objecting to your being baptized? Guess what she said. And I quote, she said, my parents said, though we have lost a daughter to Christianity, we are happy to have gained a new and better daughter from Christianity. On the baptism day, the two parents who had never stepped into the church before, after their daughters introduced them to me, they clasped my hand tightly and they said, thank you for giving us a new daughter. Indeed, a Christian daughter is a better daughter. A Christian son is a better son. A Christian father is a better father. A Christian mother is a better mother. It really doesn't matter whether we are single or married, with or without children. The fact of the matter is, we are called to be a better someone to someone. And the very, very familiar Good Samaritan story, in fact, tells us that we are even to be a better stranger to another stranger. The Christian family, too, can be a better family, where people can find love and joy in our presence. Our homes can be the place where people find comfort and acceptance, where we live with the conscious knowledge of God being present in our lives and in our homes. God has to be in our family, not just by our mouth or even just hanging a cross or some plaques on the wall. God's presence must be in our lives. And I personally like this light that I have made. You know why I like this light very much? Because I spent a lot of time doing it. Most importantly, I like it because it is a poignant reminder to me, and I hope it is also to you, on the importance of living with God's presence in our homes. Practicing divine presence means many, many things. It is about spiritual disciplines of prayer, of Bible reading, of devotions, but it is more about the small, the seeming unreligious things in our thoughts, in our speech, and in our actions.
There's one more part. Seriously, there are no neat answers to the complex problems of family life. I can only share with you how merciful God has been to my family, and pray that it will encourage you to seek the mercy of God in your life. At some point, I realized that I was too busy pleasing everyone. I had to learn to discern God's calling for me in general and in particular. So in general, right now, I'm not so much a psychologist who helps people or could stay at home to help my children. Rather, God has called me to Himself and wants me to honor my basic needs as a human being, like sleep and rest. And my spiritual need is also my own responsibility to prioritize. Next, I have a husband to submit and to love, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, etc., in that order. In particular, when I'm with anyone, say my children, my prayer has changed to, what is the one thing, just one thing, that my child or someone I'm with needs from me right now? I attended a Christian talk on marriage some years back, and the minister's wife shared that when she quarreled with her husband, she would go to her bedroom, close the door, and call to mind all that she can thank God for in her husband. And I tried copying her, but it didn't work for me. It really didn't. But please don't misunderstand. I have an amazing husband who loves me very much. But I had to learn some awful truth about myself first. that it is totally possible for me, and I say this to my embarrassment, to love my husband and yet at times wish ill upon him. I really feel awful and shameful of myself, but this is God's way of changing me. We often think of ourselves as victims of someone else's wrongdoing. But right there within my vindictive spirit, God showed me that I've inflicted even more hurt and pain towards my husband, and I'm in great need of forgiveness from God and him. I found myself asking for his mercy and repeatedly uttering, "Change me, O God," for nights on end until I fell asleep. God gave me the grace to overcome the shame and pride to confess the injustice I've done him. At my wit's end, God uses brutal honesty and humble confession to turn things around. Jesus has reconciled me to God and committed to me the ministry of reconciliation. And this is the sum total of my life so far. At home, we're still learning how to do that with our children. By saying sorry without qualifications, and when they make a mistake, we try to address it by not making that a bigger issue than our love for them. But I must say we are still a long stretch away. Family devotions. We try to make it happen, minus the arguments. The chronic pain is still chronic, and the fatigue still gets to me. But deep down, I know that God is now here, and that's real hope for me. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Vivian. On the sides, I hope I call her Laopo. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. I must confess that I have most time played the larger part in contributing to the disharmony in the family. And to be fair to Vivian, again, most time it was Vivian who took the initiative to take steps to rebuild what I have broken and to build the family to be that place where I so look forward to returning each day, especially when I have a hard day at work. See, we are living in a dangerous world. Most things are grey, if not already black. Practicing our faith, especially for those of you who are working out there in the world, in your office, practicing faith is often very complex and confusing, and sometimes condemning. But I thank God that while we may get the worst bashing in our work or have a lousy day out, it is the home where we can find warmth, comfort, and acceptance. But it doesn't happen by chance. We have to build it. We have to build it. And that is why it is my earnest desire and prayer this morning that as we look to God and His sweet word, we will be reminded and challenged that whether as children or as spouse, as parents or as siblings, we will make our present homes where love and grace is given and love and grace is received. And that, I believe, would be a beautiful portrait of the Christian family where we see God is now here. Oh, okay. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks again for your word, reminding us about the order and about your purpose for the family. We come to you, Lord, each family representatives with all our own brokenness. Lord, you know the challenges, you know our weaknesses, you know the many times and the many things that we have said, we have done where we ought not to. We seek your forgiveness. And help us, Lord, to grant, and help us, Lord, to have this strength and the boldness to first get real with ourselves before you, in order that we may get real with each other. Not for the purpose of accusations, but that, Lord, we may receive forgiveness from one another, that we may build our family, family that shines for you, a family that honors you, the family that serves you. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.